Welcome to Real Career Talk. I am your host, Bill Burkett. This is a monthly interview session brought to you by the Network National, where we spend 30 minutes with internal and external experts discussing career hot topics. Those topics include our 2021 talent development pillars, including adaptability, mentoring, sponsorship, advocacy, continuous learning, and building relationships for you, your career, and even your organization. Today, I am honored to have with us the incomparable one, Aaron Coleman, AVP of Market Development in the Business Marketing Organization. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Phil. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. So as we get settled in for the next 30 minutes, we're going to be powerful in the moment. I understand you're a powerful leader, influential in your own right. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to this point where you are in your career.
Well, thank you for that introduction. Very kind and generous remarks. I've got about 20 years total with AT&T. Started out right out of college, field assignment, you know, managing technicians, installing basic POTS service. And it was really my me embracing change, right? So I have a bias towards change and being disruptive that led me to where I am today. And it was an opportunity. This was 2000, the opportunity to be a part of a best practice team after the Ameritech SBC merger. So I had a chance to go from Kansas City to San Antonio, people be involved and really look at the business from a different lens. And it broadened my aperture, right? And then, so then the network grew, opportunities spawned from there. And so I spent the majority of my career in product marketing, product management environments and roles, different leadership opportunities there. And it led me here. Currently, I've been here about 3 years and the industry analyst relations space. And so I lead a global team with responsibility for AT&T business, managing industry analyst relationships. And we're responsible for informing, influencing, and advocating on behalf of AT&T within the analyst ecosystem. And so again, this position here really provides a really broad aperture on not only AT&T, but the entire competitive landscape. From a global view.
That's awesome, Aaron. There's a lot of things that I find interesting in your conversation. You start out working with technicians. I remember my OCS days here in Chicago, Official Communication Services, managing technicians. So that's interesting how, you know, small world, how we all start out similar right. in some way, shape, or form. So now, personally, give me one thing about your personal life that you want our audience to know about you.
I'll tell you. I have to say, in order to know me, you have to know that I'm a husband and I'm a parent, and so those are probably the two most important roles that I've had. My wife and I just celebrated 20 years in March. Look forward to many more, and you know we're having fun on the journey of raising a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old now, and so. On the topic of adaptability, for two professional careers, raising two kids, and my son, this is the sixth home he's lived in. So we've moved quite a bit, and in fact, we moved to Dallas on about 3 days' notice. So we have, as a family, embraced and sort of just accepted that adaptability is part of life.
Well, then you're the right one to be talking to today. And I'm glad you mentioned that you're a father. We're going to benchmark this and say in 2021, Happy Father's Day, which is happening this weekend, to all of the fathers out there, you included Aaron, as well as today is the national benchmark because today is now recognized as Juneteenth Day nationally.
That's right.
So, Welcome. All right, let's get started. Got a lot to cover. Is that okay?
And it's okay.
Let's get started. Yes. Why is being adaptable? We've heard you talk about disruptive change. We've heard you talk about how you had to move in 3 days
pick up your family and move from a business perspective. Talk to me about why is it so being adaptable is so important in personal and in business?
So I'll start by saying adaptability is an inherent human condition. And so if you just look at biology, right, humans adapt, even we adapt, our brains adapt, our biology adapts to our environment naturally. And that's ubiquitous across the species, right? And so throughout years, if you just look at why we have evolved and species that have become extinct and why those things happen, it comes down to adaptability. Now, I look at adaptability from two perspectives. There is, you embrace it and you're proactive. So you look over the hill and around the corner and you prepare. You position yourself, you skill up, you have mentors. And the same goes for, you know, I have mentors in my personal life. People have been married before I was and longer than I was. People who have raised kids and are further along that continuum than I am. And so you do those things to prepare yourself. And you have to prepare for as much as you can. You can't predict everything, but being prepared helps. The other side of it is how you respond when you face unanticipated change. And so then, in my opinion, the emotional intelligence, the EQ comes in, maintaining your poise. And you still, again, you bring forward that preparation and it helps you get through it. But it's absolutely required. You either adapt or you become obsolete, whether it's in your personal life or at work.
Mm-hmm. So being able to accept the idea of change, and innately we have the capability to adjust, being able to accept that is important. So one of the classes that we used to teach talked about being a powerful strategic thinker. And one of the things, I'll just get your comment on this, to make you a powerful strategic thinker, you have to be able to, as you just stated, be able to identify future, predict future, prepare for future while staying present, you know, focusing on the present. Is that still possible today? What are you thinking?
It is possible today. You still got to execute. You've got to execute what's right in front of you. And so now in different roles, right, you have an organizational structure. And so, you know, if you're in a leadership role where you're managing a team, you're leading a team, then you delegate and there are different altitudes. You don't want leaders at the top of the organization looking at and responsible for executing sort of tactical today, tomorrow stuff, right? They're accountable for making sure it happens, but it's delegated to people that are closer to the customer and are closer to that specific function. You want your leaders, in my view, the further up you go in the organizational chart, the further out you need to look, the better your vision needs to be. You have to have a much broader aperture. You can't get too focused, you know, hyper-focused on one area of the business because you'll develop blind spots. And so organizational structure is very important, but it's also important that leaders, as we progress in our careers and take on more responsibility, one of the most challenging aspects of being promoted is accepting that you have a new role and your vision has to be focused in a different area, and you can't keep doing the job that you were promoted out of, because although you were good at it, which is one of the reasons you were probably promoted, if you're doing that, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing at your new level, right? And there's a reason why we all have to sort of stay in our lane, and it requires trust. You have to have people around you that you trust to do their job right, and you focus on yours.
You said a mouthful there. It's interesting. People are giving opportunities to grow and develop and expand. They're promoted, and yet they don't let go of the old. I remember that back in my network world where, you know, we had some great, and now that leads also to, you know, some other discussion points, actually, Aaron, which we can't cover today. You know, you know, are you ready for leadership, you know, just because you're technically sound? That's a different discussion. But, right. You know, so you're bringing up great points. You have to be able to adjust, stay in your lane. You have to be able to adjust according. Sometimes you got to let go of the old. So with that said, why is it, or what are some of the causes that makes us not change? It makes us not be adaptable, even though we know it's necessary. What are some?
Yeah, you remember the book Who Moved My Cheese, right? That's what that book was about back in the late 80s, 88, 89 time frame. In my opinion, insecurity bubbles up to the top. I'm comfortable. I like to be in my comfort zone. I'm good. It feels good when you know you're competent. Your peers view you as competent. And then the idea of change says, well, this is new. Am I ready? Can I handle this? What is the impact on me? Do I still have the same influence and am I regaled by my peers and my leadership team the way I was over here? And so I think it boils down to insecurity, is my opinion. The lack of unknown communication is so important. And so when you're going to affect change, you can't over communicate. You have to constantly communicate. Here's why. Here's what the vision is. Here's the facts that help formulate that vision, inform that vision. Here's why. And so we're going to go this way. This team, this business unit, this company is going to go this way. And it is important to, you have to care about people. You have to understand people. And then you need to communicate to people in terms of something that's important to them. And like, this is how the change is going to impact you. And you have to bring them along. Those people that are resistant, you have to bring them along sometimes.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. How do you adjust someone that might not be willing to change? Now, and that's for our leaders that are in the audience. But I want to stay with this a little bit longer. How do you adjust with someone in those difficult scenarios? That's what I want to focus on now. Now, understanding the importance of change is critical. Understanding that we need to be prepared for change. Now, it's difficult. I don't like change. I don't want to adjust. And what I do see is unknown. As a matter of fact, add on to that a layer of lack of trust, missteps, you know, lack of integrity, whatever the case might be. How does one adjust under those difficult circumstances? Like you stated earlier, we have to be able to perform even in the present. Now, you know, with future in mind, we got to be able to perform in the present.
Yeah.
How does one adjust in those circumstances when it's difficult?
So you have to find somebody that you trust. You use the word trust. Trust and communication are foundational. The ethical foundation, you also have to have that. So if trust has been violated, if you've lost that or eroded it, then that's a whole separate discussion, right? You have to find, there's got to be a relationship. This is where mentors come in, right? Whether it's a peer or, you know, in leadership in both internal and external to your company. But, you know, my guidance to people to change, and, you know, you use a carrot or the stick. And you try to use the carrot. Hey, here's why it's good to change, right? Skill up. Here's why the company's going to go here. We're going to be more vibrant. Look at the opportunity for you. Look at the opportunity. You know, our customers are not static. They're not a monolith. Their expectations are changing. Our competitors are not static, and there's new emerging competitors. So there's the stick is, what are the implications of not changing, right? We can think of, and I won't name the brands. We can think of companies and brands we know in movie rental, automotive, airlines, photography, mobile, you can go, the list is long, right? That either saw change coming and didn't react, or just didn't have the vision and never saw it. When they saw it, it was too late. Conversely, you can name brands that saw it and disrupted themselves. So think about over the top streaming, right? Mm-hmm. Look at some of the leaders there that disrupted themselves. I can think of an automotive manufacturer with a storied history who has a full-size truck that has been, you know, arguably the top product in its class for decades. And all they need to do is manufacture more and customers will buy more. Mm-hmm. They weren't so enamored with version 1.0 that they didn't go to 2.0. So recently they launched an electric version of it, 2.0. So you have to tell people, and companies need to do this as well. Even though 1.0 is good, you've got to let it go and go to 2.0, right? You have to do it. And the companies that resist that and the people that resist that, it's an existential threat.
Mm-hmm. When you look at a great point you just made, I remember years ago how AT&T themselves had a hard time adjusting. If we remember divestiture, well, I'm going way back in the day, back in the 80s, you know, or following the old model, you know, getting too comfortable with that old model that was successful. If you watch the movie Hoosiers, Gene Hackman, when he came in, he wanted to change. That team had made it to the playoffs and people were like, wow, we got to change. Why we got to change? And then not only did he change, he did some disruptive change that made a whole bunch of folks uncomfortable. He removed the all-star on the team because he was really impeding them from growing. And sometimes that has to that disruptive change has to happen, which requires trust from the followers, from the leader's perspective. There's a lot of things that come into play. And I see a common denominator in what you're saying, going back to we have to accept this idea of change. Would you agree with that?
I would go further. I believe you have to embrace it. You know, acceptance.
What's that look like, Aaron? What's
yeah,
that look
acceptance
like?
Sounds. Yeah, acceptance sounds passive. It sounds like tolerance.
Okay.
We need to embrace it. It means we need to be willing to. We need to be intellectually curious. Mm-hmm. We need, as individuals, as a company, we have to aspire to be better versions of ourselves tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wake up and say, how can I be, and what do I need to do to be a better version of myself as a spouse, as a parent, as a leader, as a company? And that's a mindset. You made a point about the all-star, and I've used this a lot in some mentoring discussions in talent, as you talk about talent. Finding somebody that's coachable, right, that exhibits adaptability, I think is paramount, because if I had a choice between a B player that was coachable and an all-star that's not coachable, I'm taking the B player that's coachable every day of the week for the reason that you cited. We've seen it. We've seen the all-stars, whether it's on a team at work or our favorite sports team, that was disruptive and they were an impediment to progress in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And their skill, their resistance to change and poor team dynamics outweighed their skill and the expertise they brought to the team. And you got to move them out of the way and infuse new talent to keep your team, your company vibrant. It's essential.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, Aaron, this is great feedback, and I believe our network audience is definitely going to benefit from this. And you mentioned mentoring quite a bit. This is a one quick sidebar. Hey, remember the network. We have our mentoring program out there with group mentoring circles, one-on-one mentoring that can take place. We hope the audience is taking advantage of it.
Absolutely.
Based on what Aaron's saying, there's a lot of opportunity out there, right? So let's get back to another question here. So, even with all of this said, Aaron, you know, and I know, and leadership knows out there, we got some folks that are going to be like, when you get through talking, I'm going to stick with what I know. What are some of the changes that are taking place now in our business environment that says to you, listen, this cannot be avoided. You have to adjust. The audience will have to adapt. What are some of the indicators to you?
Yeah, both AT&T, you know, our company, our industry, at an inflection point. So if you think about the traditional competitors that I won't name, you still have them, and their composition is changing, right? But you also have these non-traditional sort of emerging competitors that are digital natives. We have a lot of legacy and traditional, right, services and customers. If you just think about what we are coming out of, the pandemic, the last 15 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about how often you were buying food on curbside or you were picking up products from your favorite retailer or grocer curbside before last year. Not very often. Take drive through for quick service out of it, right? Because we know that model's been there. But really curbside for groceries, curbside at your casual or fine dining restaurant. That was a change that was forced upon the whole ecosystem literally overnight. So our customers have needs that are changing. There's new customers, and it's affected. Some of those changes are going to be permanent. They won't go back to the way it was before. We're still going to expect to be able to do curbside, right? Once we've had a taste of it. And so when our customers change and the competitive landscape changes with new competitors coming in and bringing new ideas and setting the bar higher for experience, AT&T should be thinking forward and leading that change. And in the cases where, you know, unpredictable change happens, we need to be prepared to react quickly, right? And meet the need, right? Meet the competition in the market. It requires a skill that we didn't have 5 or 10 years ago. It requires a mindset that we didn't have maybe 5 or 10 years ago. And so those are big changes, and it happened overnight. And it's affecting every aspect of our business. There's nobody that I can think of in our company who is not impacted by the changes, the rapid changes that are occurring around us in the market.
So you mentioned something about competition, and well, really, I'm going to talk about competition real quick. You mentioned how the customer model, the customer expectation has evolved. And it's interesting, you mentioned drive-through versus pickup, you know, curbside. Some folks like that. The idea of not being having to get out of my car, you know, convenience has changed. The idea of convenience has changed another level over the last year. So what are some of your steps in identifying the competition, and staying in tune with the competition, in order to identify where to adapt, where to adjust? Because I know you know this, Aaron, to be a strategic thinker, we all should be aware that change is inevitable. Change is good, but we change where necessary, right? And identifying where the competition is one critical component of that. Knowing what you do well is one thing, but we got to know what the competition is also doing and how they're evolving. Could you talk on that for a few moments for your audience leaders out there?
Absolutely. So the job that I'm in, that's the core function of my job. So we talk to industry analysts who are talking to talking to our customers, but B, they're talking to our competitors. And so I have access to industry analyst research. And they're talking about, well, what are small businesses doing today that's different than they were 15 months ago? Well, a lot of that, there's a lot of home-based businesses. No small business or very few small businesses started in June 2020 in a brick and mortar, right? The country was shut down. They started at home. How do we identify them? How do we meet the needs of them? Most of them are using consumer services.
Yep.
That at some point may not meet the needs of a growing business, right? And so how do we serve that customer? Again, I'm an AT&T business, so I'm talking about enterprise, but the same is said for consumers. With students at home and virtual learning, the needs on the network demand, got cameras, you need PCs, you need quiet space, you need microphones. And so you have to talk to your customers. That's the first thing that you should be thinking about is, let's go talk to the customer and make sure the voice of the customer is represented in your thinking and shaping your planning, right? Mm-hmm. What you don't want to do is, while you do need to keep your eye on the competition, if we get too focused on the competition and reacting to them, you could find yourself in a position that you're reacting to the wrong thing. You're assuming the competition is doing what's right. And if they're not, but you're reacting to them, the customer's over in the corner waiting on somebody to actually talk to them and meet their needs. So our focus should always have the customer in the center of wherever we're going and what we're thinking and how we plan. And so if you do that, it's hard. It's really difficult to go wrong if you constantly are talking to your customers and understanding that small business is not a monolith. There's a variety of subsegments within small business. All consumers are not the same. So you got to be customer focused. Understand your customers, get feedback, constant feedback loop, and iterate.
I, looking at what you're saying here is very important, being a compilation, actually making sure you're using a wide array of resources and skills and tools to paint that picture of the adaptability, of change, of being strategic, all very important. So you might, Aaron, have somebody out there that says, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, corporate, blah, blah, blah. But talk to us, to the audience, where, make it personal for them, where you yourself had to pivot and adjust. We talked about it from a high level point of view. Can you share a scenario where you personally had to adjust and pivot?
So if I think about it in the work environment, in my role, in my career, this particular role is a pivot for me. I had a brief stint at the beginning of my career and in the field, two and a half years. And then from that point until 3 years ago, so from 2000 until 2018, it was all product, right? Product oriented. And we have to resist this idea of labels, product person. I'm a salesperson. I'm an operations person. I'm this. You have to think about your skill set and what you bring, right? Your collection of skills and expertise and attributes. I had an opportunity to come over here and, I was concerned as we talk about that change and resistance. I'm not, I haven't done this. It wasn't on my career path. It's a relationship job. I'm naturally more introverted. So the idea of a relationship job for me wasn't comfortable. It just wasn't comfortable. I had some leaders around me that I trusted, that I trust. And, their point of view was, this is the right job and you got the right skill set for it. This is what the business needs you to do, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So it came down to, I still had that uncertainty as an individual. Mm-hmm. And I had preferences, but it came down to the trust. And I trust that leader. Sometimes people see things that you don't. You have blind spots. And again, I said this early, trust is essential. It's so important in those mentoring relationships. Mm-hmm. And so I did it. And I was able to take it back to adaptability. Water takes the shape of the container.
Yes.
It's still water. It still has the same utility and provides the same benefit. It takes the shape of the container. So you have to think about your skills and your leadership and your career the same way. Don't box yourself in with a label. This is what I am, and typecast yourself. So outside your comfort zone is where you grow, right? And so don't step too far out, right? And Peter principle still applies. But outside of your comfort zone still applies. And so that was a pivot for me 3 years ago. And it was a transformation job that I was stepping into, a transformation environment. And I built a team around me with the right skill set to complement my skill set. And we've had success.
Mm-hmm. It's great you mentioned that. You're sharing your insight and also your own personal experiences. We've talked a lot on Real Career Talk about me being the introvert. So I know some folks don't believe that, but the accepting of change and expanding your comfort zone is critical. And that all starts with understanding the importance, the significance of adapting. And as you stated earlier, also when you're looking at the consequences of not adapting. So with that said, final few points here. How do you deal with, for the leaders out there, you want to change, and I'm going to flip it a little. You want to change, and you're trying to create that environment of change, and you got folks that's not following you. They're resisting change. How do you deal with that? And what about those leaders above? You want to change, and you got the leaders sticking with the old way. I know I'm throwing that one at you. How do you deal with that? What do you do in those scenarios?
So one thing I do when I have new team members or I join a new team, I'm the new team member, is I want everybody to have a career plan, and I want it on paper. It's their career plan, and it can be documented in their format. Mm-hmm. And then what I ask them is, okay, what do you see your role as being in executing this plan, and what do you view as being my role? What role do I play? So me seeing their plan in their words
helps me understand, you know, where they want to go. And then we start figuring out, okay, what I can do, assignments that I can do, start rounding out areas where they have development opportunities. When you start talking about change and you show them, here's your roadmap, let's look at where the company's going. How do you get to your North Star with the current skill set? And if you get to your North Star, is that a relevant skill set and a relevant contribution in this company in a year, 2 years, 5 years down the road? Yes or no? And we have those candid conversations. And, you know, quite frankly, sometimes it's that North Star doesn't exist here. And I ask them, look around, take a broad aperture, look around outside of AT&T and tell me where you are going to apply your skill set. If that job doesn't exist, or you're not making the changes necessary to still be here in that role, there's a gap. Let's modify your plan. You go modify your plan and come back. Let's talk about how we bridge that gap. So it's a collaborative effort, but it requires you knowing the person. You got to know your people. You got to communicate. And I'm a firm believer in transparency. Be polished, be professional, you know. But you have to have candid conversations with people. And again, when you ask somebody to document their plan, not just where I want to be, but how you're going to get there, all the stops along the way and the skill development along the way, it gives you a natural opportunity to identify gaps. And if you don't change, and okay, we're going to erase this part here, you don't have the skills, right? Or the skill's not going to be relevant. Is the skill going to be relevant in 5 years here? And so you have to enroll them. And I don't view it as just me telling them. I think if you enroll them early, just to sort of have that drumbeat cadence of having career discussions, life planning discussions, which is what career discussions are, whether you have a family or not, it's a life plan. It makes it easier. And I've encountered instances where people are just resistant to change. And that's complacency. There's another word for that. I view it as complacency. It's one of my biggest fears. You get complacent, you get comfortable, something sneaks up on you, you're caught off guard, you're not prepared. We see what happens, right?
When you think about what you're saying here, it's interesting you bring up, again, they have to be willing to accept change. One of the things that I found most interesting, we have to wrap up here. This has been phenomenal. One of the things that I found most interesting is that in all of my coaching and training about competencies and developing, some of us aren't having the discussions. And if we are having it, we're not having them very well. From a leadership perspective, they avoid it. From the follower perspective, well, I'm status quo. I'm just enough. And what I appreciate in what you've done, Aaron, is that you have shared with the audience on, hey, here's the consequences of not accepting this key integral part of future, of what's going to have to happen in order for us to move forward. One final thought, Aaron, from you to the audience. You have the floor. Give me 30 seconds. What do you want to leave them?
Embrace change. And if you embrace change and lead change, you will find yourself being more relevant in the environment you're in, whether it's at home or at work.
Embracing change. That's awesome. Well, Aaron, you've been powerful today, and I know that our audience will benefit from your insight and your wisdom. I thank you, and the audience thanks you as well. We'll see you next time at our next session.
Thanks for having me, Phil. It was a good time.
Thank you.